right. Well, good morning, everybody. Hopefully everybody good and full this morning. How about chicken Alfredo, shrimp Alfredo? Can I get a hand for chicken? Who was chicken? All right. What about shrimp? Anybody? Anybody like both? There you go. Bring it on. That's my answer. I like them both. Man, good to see y'all. I'm doing good. Hope you are. Well, last week was Father's Day. I know I so hated to rush through that last week. For those dads that were here last week, again, we want to, since we had to do it so quick, tell you Happy Father's Day. We always try to walk that fine line of when rain is coming. We'll be here every time. But there's also a thing, we love being in the Word, but we also love taking care of you. And so that was where that decision was last week. And can I just say this, everybody, real quick. If you want to know God's heart, if he cares about moms or if he cares about dads more, I just want to say this. Mother's Day was a beautiful sunny day, not a cloud in the sky. And then Father's Day last week, you know the drill, right? That's what we get. It's just how it goes. But we thank God anyway, right? All right, so here's what I want to say. I had planned to teach on the Beatitudes last week, and the reason that not just the rain, we didn't want to rush through. This is such a rich passage of Scripture, and I'll be honest, I want to tell you this up front, whether you're a dad, a mom, man, woman, boy, or girl here this morning, I want you to know this, that when you read a passage like the Beatitudes, you cannot even remotely come close to living a life that reflects the Beatitudes in your own strength. Cannot be done, will not be done on your own, in your natural state. Cannot do it. So I want you to maybe focus in this morning that we can't do this on our own, so we're going to need help to do this. And I know especially guys in the crowd, when it comes to asking for help, it seems weak, right? That seems like a weak thing to do. But I actually want to tell you, it's one of the strongest things that we can do to be an example for our community and to live the life God has called us to, okay? So the last time I taught, we followed up. Our good friend Roger Patterson was here and taught us a few weeks ago, finishing up Matthew chapter 4, and we're heading into this Sermon on the Mount. And he did this great job teaching that understanding these people that were looking for the Messiah had missed that, and that Jesus, in this closing of chapter 4, it said these verses. Listen to me and see if you remember this. That he was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. We finished that up and we followed it up with one verse. If you remember, I taught about that. And I said this entering in, that if you would look at the Sermon on the Mount on its whole, the greatest message ever taught by the greatest preacher who's ever preached, right? Jesus being the preacher, God in the flesh, 3 chapters, 111 verses, all right? Hey, can I ask something real quick? Everybody look this way for me. I know it's hot. I know there's a lot going on. Don't miss this today. Don't check out on me, okay? Everybody with me? Everybody with me? All right, awesome. 3 chapters, 111 verses, the greatest message ever preached, greatest preacher who's ever preached, no doubt about it, no question about it, all right? As he does this, we said this this one verse from Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. It says, 6 times, by the way, in this 111 verses, 6 times he's going to say the words, "You have heard it said, but I tell you." All right, Jesus was upsetting. I think Charlie said it best just a few moments ago in our prayer time. He said this upside down world, if you will. Any Stranger Things fan out here? The upside down almost, right? That it's everything shifted. That when you look at Jesus' teaching, he's saying all along your life through the law, you've heard it said, but I tell you. All right, I want everybody to look this way. What Jesus is going to tell the people in this whole message is you've had this legalistic, law-filled life way of living, but I tell you there's something more. So Jesus is about to take it from this idea of the tryhards, right? The ones that are religious in nature, the ones that are beating their head against the wall, trying to live this way and live the law perfectly, and they couldn't do it. He's taking them from that, and it's a paradigm shift to the heart of the matter. He's telling them it's so much more than about what you physically do, but about what's in here, what's on the inside, what's in the heart, the soul of a person. And so over and over, you'll hear him say this. And if you didn't outright hear him say it, it's implied. You've heard it said, but I tell you, and it's not necessarily a new way, but it's a new way of thinking. It was always supposed to be about the heart. It was always supposed to be about relationship. Man crafted that into religion, and here's why: because we could not make it on our own. So we had to contrive, we had to scheme, we had to plan without a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, it set up the stage, and if you remember, I even had us break into small groups. People pray over you and ask, as we listen to this Sermon on the Mount, we listen to it in a fresh way as if we too were sitting on a hillside for the first time hearing God in the flesh teach in such a way that would blow people's minds. That's what happened. That God in the flesh sat down with people, and here's what Matthew 5, 1, it says, seeing the crowds that were gathering around, Jesus went up to the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. I told you the day we read that, we don't know the mountain. We don't know every single thing about it. But what we do know is that crowds were beginning to follow Jesus. And he takes them to a hillside and he sits down and he begins to teach in such a way that had never been taught. No one had ever heard. Again, it was God in the flesh. The Word himself teaching the Word. Religion equals doing, trying, and striving. Relationship equaling done, grace and redemption, the way. He's about to teach in such a way that the people would never, never hear again and have never heard before. So as we read the Sermon on the Mount, here's what I want to ask you to do. We prayed this and we asked, Jesus, could we just feel as if we're sitting on that hillside hearing your words, that you are speaking directly to us. And so that's what I want you to do. And I want you to even try to do this favor. You've probably read the Sermon on the Mount a few times, heard it read, heard portions of it. I want you to try to ditch everything you know about the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to try to do that myself. And I want us just to sit and act like we're hearing this for the first time, that God in the flesh is sitting us on a hillside and he's about to teach us the ways of the heart. Not a way a natural man can go, but the supernatural is happening here. So I want to read this morning Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 2. We read verse 1 a few weeks back as he sits down and teaches the disciples. This passage, probably the most famous out of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. I want to read these for us this morning. Again, let's do this and pray ahead of time. Normally I pray after I read scripture. I want us to pray ahead of time and ask God to speak fresh and new to our hearts this morning. So Jesus, we ask that. We ask that you would transport us, if you will, to a hillside, that we would ditch all the busyness, all the thoughts, all the aggravations, the heat, any of this stuff that is possibly taking us out this morning, conversations, any of this, that we would just stop, even as the breeze blows now, we would picture ourselves on a hillside, God in the flesh, sitting down and wanting to tell us many ways, many themes of our life that we've heard it a certain way or viewed it through a certain lens. And as Charlie prayed this morning, that you would flip that paradigm upside down and show us the heart of the matter where we've heard it said, but Jesus, you are telling us, not necessarily a new way, but a new way to think, a new way to live, a new way to act, a new way to pursue after you. And it has very little to do about doing something and much more to do about being something. It's much less to do about doing and more about done. That Jesus, you've already finished this work in us if we choose to believe. And so help us with that. Speak fresh to us this morning as we sit on a hillside under the teaching of you, Jesus. So we pray and ask this in your name. Amen. You on the hillside with me? All right, let's do that. Mitzi, I got to say it. If you're on a hillside, let's scotch that wheelchair there. We don't want you rolling down that hill with me this morning. All right, you got me. And what'd you call them? Beatitudes? What'd you call them? Beatitudes. There we go. We got it. The attitudes that are to be. It's kind of cheesy, but that's been said about this. So I'm going to read this morning. It says, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Again, I want to take you to a place, and I want you to, as you hear these words and as we talk back over them, I don't want you to look at this as like this to-do list or things that you've got to strive to do, right? I want you to look at this list, not as a list of rules and regulations, but Jesus sitting down and saying, I want to address the heart of the matter. I want to go deeper than the outside of the behaviors that maybe you can change and modify on your own. I want to speak to the things that are deeper, the deeper places of your heart and soul. I think when I think about this passage, I think of a word. I know Jesse and I use this a lot, and you may have heard it out here, and it may seem silly to you, but we talk about the economy of God. When you hear the word economy, you think of something that maybe should be more like on a newscast, talking about the world's economy, right? When we say this, we're talking about the world operates in a way that when you look at the kingdom of God, doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. Like, we've kind of honed in and naturally live in this world, and it's really a world, it's a fish out of water thing if we're believers. This isn't our home, right? And so the kingdom, the economy of the kingdom operates on different parameters, right? The world teaches us to look out for number one, you get yours, self over others, me over we, all of these things. But then we get to these Beatitudes, the attitudes that are to be, if you will, and they look completely opposite of the world in which we live. And there's a good reason for that. Because it's not about doing, it's about done. It's about something we couldn't do on our own, but we've been invited and initiated into a kingdom, into a way of life that we cannot do on our own. I want you to go back and listen to these. I want to share them again quickly. Blessed is the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted, those who've had evil spoken against them. Now, in their self, some of these sounds good, but honestly, some of them we could say this. Hey, I don't want to be poor in spirit. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to hunger and thirst. Right? Nobody likes to be hungry or thirsty. I don't want to mourn. I don't want to be persecuted. But then we look at Jesus and he's saying, not only should we strive for these things, not only is this the life that's really a disciple in Christ, but that when we are those things, that we are to count ourselves blessed. And yet, I don't know about you, but when I mourn, I don't look at that as, man, I'm so blessed to mourn today, right? When I'm feeling, you know, just poor in spirit, that's such a blessing. Or when I'm really just hungry and thirsting for God, and maybe even if I'm honest, there's been times where I've hungered and thirsted for righteousness, and it seems so dang far away, I can't grab a hold of it. It doesn't seem blessed to me. I've had people speak evil against me. I've learned to grow a thick skin. I've learned to be comfortable being misunderstood, but I'm still human. It hurts. When people speak evil against me, when I'm persecuted and I feel like I'm trying to do the right thing, can I just be honest, Jesus? None of those sound like a blessing. It sounds like a curse. And we say, well, it's got to make sense. In fact, can I just use this? Anytime we hit a scripture where there's something that applies to our group, I want to stop. you say, well, evil spoke against me, don't matter. Can I tell you how many times, I want everybody to look around this square of a parking lot right here. How many times I've seen two grown men, most of the time it's men, sometimes the ladies choose to get involved, want to literally square off with each other just because somebody said a word. So don't tell me having evil spoke against you, don't bother. Some of you can't let it go, right? And here's what I want to tell you. That's completely natural. But we're good news here. We got the supernatural. And that may sound weird to you. I don't mean supernatural by like everybody's friendly neighborhood Spider-Man going on a field trip, bit by a radioactive spider, and now, as cool as it would be, being able to swing from that building. Not what I'm talking about. Super cool? Got something even cooler. That if a natural man, we all live in a supernatural world. Whether you know that or not, you are either with God or against God. You live in a supernatural. This is the natural. This is the here and now. But there is a realm going on, by the way, to get a little freaky, even around us. We have an enemy, demons that oppose, the enemy himself, all of these things. And we are in a daily spiritual battle, right? Your battle's not against flesh and blood, right? You've heard that scripture. So the natural world that we live in here, but the supernatural is around. You're either with God or against God. What that means is anything outside of Christ, you could be the nicest person in the world standard, this natural world. You are apart from God and are his enemy. You're either with him or against him. But what we choose to do, those of us that are led by the Holy Spirit, and we have this calling on our life, and I believe it's been offered to us all. We've either chosen to accept or reject. If you haven't had that calling, I believe it's coming. I believe if you listen, it's there. What the invitation is to step out of the natural, stop doing things your own way, and honestly, as Ephesians and Romans says it, have the very Spirit inside of us, indwelling us, that's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Can I ask you a question? Whether you are a believer or not out here, everybody look this way. Whether you think it's true or not, can I just ask you a hypothetical question? If what I'm saying is true, and I would stake everything that it is, gun to my head, I'm going to say, even though I have doubts at times, everybody doubts, I believe Christ is the way. I just want to say that, hypothetically, if you're here saying, I just don't believe it's true, can I ask you this, though? If there was a way for you to skate through life on your own and just do your own way, mistake after mistake after mistake, and stand before a holy God and you've got an answer, that's what I'm saying is from the Bible, but let's just say hypothetical. But I could offer you a way that instead of that, that you have the Spirit of God indwell you, that you've accepted the grace and mercy of the cross, the sacrifice that was made for you. You no longer walk in your sinful flesh, but forgiven from everything you've ever done, doing, or will do. And as a bonus, the Spirit of God would indwell in you, and you don't have to do it on your own anymore. That's the natural world to the supernatural world. You're already in the supernatural realm. You just got to choose which side you're on. Now, here's the unfortunate part of that for my dissenters and doubters in the crowd. It's not hypothetical. It's real. So you got to choose. Fleetwood Mac and go your own way? Are you going his way? My brother, I done put it in his head. He was singing when he walked by. It's a good song, but it's not a good way to live. No, I know. I'm the poster child. I've tried it my own way. I'm telling you from experience, his way is best. And it doesn't make everything on this side of heaven right. I'd love to tell you that. But in fact, sometimes we find the opposite, that Jesus himself, some of his parting words, wouldn't you love for him to say, just give your heart and life to me and everything is going to be absolutely A-OK perfect. But no, he says there's an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And by the way, he tells his followers this. No doubts about it. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world, and I am with you for always. You will have trouble, but you will not be in trouble alone. And so when we get to this place in the Beatitudes and we look up and we see all of these things, and you can get overwhelmed. And I imagine there were people in the crowd that day that didn't get it yet, right? They didn't understand that it was about relationship and not religion. And I imagine there were some that even in the first 12 verses, as Jesus is teaching, were taken out and saying, I'll never be able to do that. And they were so right. They can't. On their own, they cannot live a life. I cannot live a life like this without the supernatural power of Christ living in me. I cannot do it on my own, and neither can you. I want to remind you, everyone lives, whether they choose to admit it, in a supernatural world. Which side are you on? Are you with or are you against? In a supernatural world, the Beatitudes begin to make a little more sense. I want to read them again, and I want you to try to take off your natural mind that would say, this doesn't make sense in our world, in our kingdom, in our economy. But I want you to listen with the power of the Holy Spirit, and let's think about His kingdom, not just the here and now, but the hereafter, the eternity, the kingdom where Christ is on the throne. Here's how upside down, as Charlie said, things really are. Jesus opens His mouth and says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn. I love this, by the way, He didn't just say, those that mourn, you're blessed. That's great. But He adds these words, they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. By the way, listen to this one. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus' authority says that we will be satisfied. So if you hunger and thirst for Him, guess what? You're going to get it. Keep after. You say, man, I don't feel it yet. Get a little more hungry. Get a little more thirsty. Jesus, I need you. Just like I need that next bite of food, I need you. You operate in life that way? Anybody ever seen the deep theological movie, The Three Amigos? Anybody ever seen that? Anybody know the Three Amigo dance? You remember that? Anybody want to do it? Miss Mitzi? You want to try it? Don't do it? All right. There was a scene in The Three Amigos, and I think it was Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, and Martin Short, right? These three amigos, they're out there, and they got the outfits and all this stuff. And I remember them riding the scene. It always sticks out to me when I hear this passage. It's the way my goofy mind works. But I remember them riding out in the desert, and they've got their canteens full of water. Anybody remember that scene? I know I'm dipping back. This is in the 80s. Some of you weren't even born. But they're in the desert, and they've got these canteens of water. And I remember it just gets to, like, I think, you know, the first two, one's got a little bit of water. One's just like dropping out of his tongue. And I remember Chevy Chase's canteen was full of water. You remember that? He's pouring it. I mean, it's just pouring all over him. And the other two are just like staring at him. And he gets so full of water, he wipes his mouth and he throws the canteen on the ground. And they pan to the canteen and it's just all over there, right? He's just pouring water out. And the other two guys are like, man, I'm thirsty. And I've often thought about that when I read this passage, the hunger and thirst for righteousness. You could see the look on their face of like, I'd do anything if I could make it down there and get that canteen before the water. They were so thirsty. And I thought, what would it look like in my life if I was like a starving man that had been offered a plate of food, or a man that is thirsting to death in the heat, and here's a fresh canteen full of cold water? Man, what are you going to do with it? I've been in those situations before, right? I've been to places where it's hot and you've sweat out everything and somebody offers you a cool glass of water. It's not just like one little sip and like, oh, that's nice, man. It's the chug is on. It's like the Chevy Chase, water coming down everywhere. And it's a thirsty man that has been found with water, fresh, clean water. Can I ask you to correlate this with your life? What would your life look like if you chose right now, just like a hungry man desiring just anything to bite on to nourish her body, a thirsty man or woman that would say, I'd do anything for a fresh glass of water? What if we lived our ways and say, I want to hunger for Christ like that. I want to thirst for Christ and the goodness that is Jesus. I want to live in such a way. Here's what it says, that if we do that, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, then we will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful. Some of us need to show some mercy out here to people, right? The pure in heart. The peacemakers. Hey, the peacemakers. What does that mean? That means when two people try to square off, we don't instigate. We don't say, yeah, go ahead and take him. I know you can get him. Peacemakers. And it's not just to break up a physical fight, but to offer, hey, there's more unity out here than disunity. We got the Spirit of God in this place. Right? Don't tell me this isn't holy ground. I know it's a flower shop parking lot, a floral business, if you will, but it's holy ground. You know why? We bring the Spirit of God with us. And not to mention, these folks are believers. They bring him when they work, right? That's how they operate, how they live their lives. And so we see that, the peacemakers. Anybody like being persecuted? I don't. But it says, blessed when we're persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Can I just do a little side nugget right here? Some of you say, man, they talk about me all the time. I'm just so persecuted. You may just be being a jerk. I just want to throw that out there. There is that possibility, right? Maybe be a little nicer to people. It says on his account, right, that persecuted and reviled because of him. A little different scenario than just somebody saying, man, I don't like that guy. Maybe you're not a likable guy. That's okay. God can fix that, right? I know I'm not likable at times, even with the Spirit of God. But the point of this whole thing, the Beatitudes, again, I want to come back to this. Can I have just 2 minutes and I'll close with this? I don't want you to read this list and say, man, I got to be a tryhard. I got to be a peacemaker today. I got to be merciful today. All those things are great, good, and wonderful. But can I just tell you this? Let's focus on this. Let's don't focus on the doing at all. Let's focus on being. Let's focus on being Christ, right? First off, that we've entered that relationship, but that if we're with him, how arrogant of us to walk life on our own when we have the Spirit of God inside of us that leads us, right? Here's what I want you to do. Everybody look this way. Don't focus on doing. Focus on what? One person listen? Being. I heard it. Just be. Be a follower of Christ. Because here's what happens. When we allow the Spirit of God to indwell us, we're his. We belong to him. We're a son or daughter. And we live a life that is walking in the Spirit, then these things are a natural occurrence now for us. It won't be all the time. We won't always get it right. But when we walk in the Spirit, we can live a beatitude life. My only guarantee for you after that today is that on your own, you will not be able to do it. I have tried and failed miserably. Been there, done that, have the T-shirt. And so I pray that this week, we just say, I want to remember these words of Christ, and I want to try it his way and not mine. And I promise if you do, you'll be just that much closer to living a beatitude life. And so thank you guys so much for listening. I want to just pray a quick prayer real quick, and then I've got an announcement with some friends this morning I want to share, and we'll go on with the rest of our time here together. And so let's pray over your hearts this morning. So, Father, we just we pray this. I'd be remiss to say if someone is here that doesn't know you, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would meet you for the very first time. And I believe that can happen. I believe somebody can step out of that natural world and more into the supernatural of willingly, knowingly, hey, I'm with Christ. I'm not against him. I'm with him, and I am sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And if we do know you, that we wouldn't get to a passage like today and say, man, I got to try harder. I got to do this. I got to do that. But we would focus on what's already been done, the goodness of the cross, the grace, the mercy, and compassion of Jesus. we too could celebrate the words, "It is finished," and take Jesus at his words, that we don't have to earn anything more. We can't. That it is done, it is finished, sealed with you. And that if we operate and walk in your Spirit, that we can live a life that resembles, at times, the Beatitudes, and then there's grace and forgiveness for when we miss the mark. And so, Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we love you, and we pray and we ask all this in your name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you guys. I want to ask my friend Charlie and Laura to come over just real quick. I didn't ask their permission, so I'll ask their forgiveness right now. Bittersweet moment for my friends this morning. I love these guys so much. And I want you to know this is their last week with us, and we hate that. It is definitely a bittersweet moment, but these guys are moving to Georgia. And so we're going to make sure they come back and visit. But I just want you to be able to tell them just thank you as you go throughout your day-to-day. Just give them a hug. I want you to know they have been a blessing to our team, to just our ministry here. Charlie, every time he has taught, has taught me so much. He does just in how he lives his life. And Laura does so much that you guys probably never even see, except you see the results. She works so hard and is a beautiful, beautiful soul. And so I love them. I want us to pray over them as a church family as we send them off with blessing. Well, don't mean we got to be happy about it, but we're going to send them off with our blessing for this next step in their life. And so I know you join me in saying thank you, and you love these guys. And so we want to pray over them. Please come up. Don't let them leave today without giving them a hug, a handshake, a smile, a story of how they've impacted your heart, because I know they have. And so I just want you to do that this morning. So will you join me as we pray over their family? And don't forget to pray for Andrew and John David as well as they make this change. And so let's pray. Father God, I love these folks so much. I have learned so much. What it means to be a follower of you just by watching their lives. And Father, that is the greatest thing you can say about anyone. I see you in them, Jesus. I love them. And while for me it is bittersweet, I know for everyone it is. It is for them just to leave where it's been home for so long, to leave this church family. They're still a part of this. Their DNA is all over what we do and what we continue to do. And we just look forward to this next season for them, though, God. We know that they've prayed. You've led them to this place. And so we definitely won't stand in the way of that. We honor that decision. We pray your blessings over their family, over each and everything that comes with that, the moving, the physical parts of that, the spiritual, the emotional, just a covering over them is what we pray. I love these folks, and I thank you for placing them on my life, and know that even though there'll be a little more time and distance, Father, they're still a part of our church family and in our lives forever. You've made a bond that won't be broken by time and space. And so we pray your blessings over them. We love them. We honor them. We thank you. Thank you. For the Vifkin family. We love them. We pray and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.